one verse in the Bible we're going to be basing our study on at this time. So if you have your New Testament handy, I invite you to turn to the book of Colossians, the second chapter, and we're going to take a good, solid look at verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. I cannot remember when I've heard a lesson on this verse last. I know it's been a long time since I've preached on it, but it's been a longer time than that since I've heard a lesson on it. I don't know how long it's been since you have, but you know what? If we haven't been feeding upon this verse, we have been missing a powerful study. Let's see what the Holy Spirit has delivered to us through the Apostle Paul at this particular verse. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Well, do you see anything in that statement worth our study? It is loaded. And I can't help but believe that what we would be stronger spiritually if we feasted upon it perhaps more often. Look at the very first word for just a few moments. Beware. Beware. What does that tell you, anyway? When you encounter a sign that says, beware, what do you think about it? Do you think it's something to tear down or something just pay no attention to whatsoever? First part of this last week, this building was covered for treatment of termites. And all the way around this building, there were little signs saying, beware. There's a danger near. That's what that sign tells you. There's something danger out there. Well, I thought that when I become a child of God, He's going to take care of me, and I'll have nothing to fear so far as danger is concerned. Somebody has misled you, if that's what the thought that you entertain. Because we are instructed to be ready, be prepared, and be with God's Word in order to meet danger. Would you say, upon any means whatsoever, that the danger does not lie in Satan? I know that we don't see him physically. We don't see the Lord either physically. But since we don't see them, perhaps we don't have the attention drawn to them that we ought to have. So consequently, we just look pretty lightly on some things that are very dangerous. Satan doesn't appear as Christ appeared upon this earth. Satan works in various ways. But his main tool to use in his work is man. I often say that the worst enemy that we have is self. We have more troubles with ourselves than we do with anything else. Maybe we don't admit it, but just take a look at your life day by day and see how much you have to depend upon or look to yourself. Yourself's a big problem in your life. And there's something that makes that big problem a bigger problem in your life. And that is that the devil, even though we cannot see him as a separate individual, he is everywhere. Just like our Father in heaven is everywhere. So consequently, we need to be on guard. We need to be awake. We need to be watchful. because he's out to get us. What was it that Paul, or Peter rather, said in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning along about verse 8? He said the devil is like a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do you think he's going to leave you alone? No, he's after you. He's after me. He's got everybody out there in the world. So he's not too concerned about them. He wants us. God is his enemy, but he fights God through us. Therefore, we need to beware. We need to be conscious of this fact, because it is our responsibility to put on the whole armor of God and defend the cause of Jesus Christ. Are we aware of the fact? Well, we're not going to see a sign posted out here wherever we may move around for a day that says, beware. But we ought to recognize the dangers where God put us to recognize them. That's in our mind. We have the Word of God to call our attention to the fact that there are dangers out there. But we also have the Word of God to tell us what to do about it. But if we don't recognize dangers that are out there, you can rest assured we're not paying very much attention to what God tells us we must do in order to meet those conditions. So, we just might not be as strong spiritual as we thought that we were. Well, let's see what else is in this verse. We spend quite a bit of time talking about this danger and the fact that Satan is everywhere and he's out there to get us. And if we let our arm down, we let our mind drift away from God, from our source of strength, from our source of courage, he's going to get us. That is, Satan is going to get us. Because he just has more than a handful of tools that he is very successful in using to draw the attention of man away from that which is spiritual. Do you have trouble thinking upon spiritual things? I know a lot of folks do. We come across a passage like, well, I never thought of that. You know why? When did you read it last? We don't continue to read and feast upon heaven's manna for us, the Word of God. We're going to be faced with many things that God teaches us about that we don't see. We don't recognize them. Because mostly we don't even know what they are. Well, beware. Lest any man spoil you. Now you remember I said a while ago that the devil works through man? He uses other people to get at us. Do you have any friends or neighbors that try to draw you away from your spiritual responsibilities? Well, you never thought the devil would be there, did you? But lo and behold, again, he's everywhere. And wherever he sees a weakness on the part of one who claims to be a faithful child of God, that's where he's going to begin to set his traps. Where do you set your traps if you happen to have mice or rats around your place? You try to set your traps in the most apt place in order to be successful in catching that little creature, don't you? Yes, we do. We have to own up to it. It's a fact of life. Well, what do you think the devil's doing when he's out there working through human beings, maybe within our own family, maybe in our own neighborhood, maybe on the job? Everywhere we go, we run into people. Are you able to determine which one might be after you because the devil's using him to get you? Beware! That's what the Lord tells us. They don't wear a sign telling us who they are. They don't have a sign around their neck and hanging down their back or their chest to tell us where he's out to get us. He's sneaky. He's slippery. You remember what Jude said in Jude verse 3? He said there are those who will creep in unawares into the body of Christ. What for? I don't remember how many times right off that he uses the word ungodly in that little chapter. But that's what they're there for. That's what they sneak in for. To do their ungodliness. Why? Because the devil's using him. The devil's using him. If you turn your back upon that, give no concern to it, pay no heed to it, not being aware, could it be possible that the devil is even using you? Now it gets a bit scary, doesn't it? So we don't know who we deal with every day of our life that the devil may be using, looking for a place to string his trap upon us. So we need to beware. Because the devil is using somebody or somebodies in order to try to get us. But beware lest any man spoil you. Give a little thought to that word spoil. We know what we're talking about when we say that we have some food we left out on the table overnight and it's spoiled. We understand the term there, do we not? We know that it's getting pretty rotten. It's soiled. It's spoiled. And it may even smell bad. But did you know you yourself might be that stinker? Beware, cause somebody's out to spoil you. Well, this word spoil is used two ways in the scripture. One way is just like I demonstrated. But the other way is what is taken in battle, in the form of robbery actually, from the enemy. They call it spoil. We find that a few times. If we're in the book of 1st, 2nd Samuel, we find about some wars that took place and the spoils that were collected from those battles. Well, when we begin to smell bad, so far as truth is concerned, the devil is gaining the spoil that he's reaping as a result of our failure to beware, to be cautious. We've let ourselves down somewhere, and we may not ever be able to point our finger at the individual that caused it. Because anybody, anywhere, anytime can cause it. If they are not in control of self, it's essential that as the children of God, we must have self-control. That's the big issue of the life of a child of God. If he cannot control self, what kind of a servant is he or she being in the service of God? We have to control self. You remember that lesson we received, the pen of the Apostle Peter, when he says, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. You'll be productive if these things are in you and abound. What effect are they going to have wherever that caution sign pops up? We'll be ready to deal with it. That's how we ought to be, if indeed we're following the teachings of God. But it begins with self. Add to your faith, and then these things must be added to our faith, which will prepare us then to meet, to deal with, and to defeat any and everything that Satan may use to spoil us. Well, that's a big order within itself, isn't it? So we must recognize the fact that we can be spoiled. Yes, spiritually. And I also realize that the Apostle Paul tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's true. But we must be for God in order for Him to be for us. How do I know? Because He said so. Remember what Matthew penned in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33? After beginning in verse 24 where He said we can't serve two masters. You see, we have to make a choice. And He tells us about the power of God in taking care of that which He has created, brought into existence. And then He makes the application to His people, or to people in general who have that opportunity to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these things will be added unto you. See, God has made preparation for us. Have we accepted that preparation in preparing ourselves individually to glorify God in that which He has laid out here for us? If not, we're getting awful close to being taken by the devil. We need to beware. But then the text continues to say, we may spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy. Well, that's a big issue, big order in our day today, isn't it? How many places, supposedly, of education do we find in almost every community today? We have schools like the one across the street curve to the universities, and then individual schools to prepare people to meet whatever career job that they want, seeking to make a life upon. So education is a big issue in our day, isn't it? Have you spent more time and more energy in trying to be educated from the education the world has to offer than you have concerning the education that God orders? If you do, you might be the one that the apostle is talking about here. You've allowed philosophy under the hands of God. No, they're not godly people. They're the people that are loaded with the cares of this life. They don't give a hoop about spiritual matters. They're only concerned about the dollars and the cents. And now, what is that reaping in our society today? It's not easy to find an honest person, is it? Why is that so? Because the devil doesn't slow down from his work. And Jesus says the devil is the father of all liars. That's what makes people crooked. They begin by lying. Beware. Because this world in which we live breeds lies. We should be concerned about that which is spiritual. How many in your lifetime problems that have divided congregations that did not involve the very things we're talking about? Beginning with people who are uncontrolled or out of control, and so consequently they're serving self and not serving the Lord. Who do you suppose that is guiding and directing them anyway? It's the devil. Yes, they are among the brethren. That's why we find so many problems in the church. The old devil's busy guiding elders and members of the congregation. Don't you have a preacher that'll preach on the whole gospel of Christ? Paul said he determined to preach the whole counsel of God. You mean they won't just to not teach the whole counsel of God? Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Paul said, Brother Paul, in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the beginning of verse 4, said, preach the gospel, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. Why, Paul? Because he says the time will come when the people will not pay attention to the Word of God. Yes, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and will be turned away from the truth to serving fables. Now that's exactly what's causing many congregations of God's people today to cease to deliver the whole counsel of God. If there's a little problem, slip it under the rug. We don't want to be bothered with it. What's it going to do under the rug? It's going to grow. That congregation is preparing to lose their identity with Jesus the Christ. I know of preachers who will not preach on certain subjects that the Bible deals with. Does that please God? No, because He still said the whole counsel of God. We can't piecemeal it and expect God to be glorified. So those who then fill their minds with all of the cares of this life and neglect that which will carry them into eternity in the favor of God, what God teaches, what is God's, where are they going? Well, as we noted this morning in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says there's a broad way that leads to destruction. Wherever that destruction is, that's where they're going. Why? Because they didn't pay attention to the sign that says, beware. And they allowed themselves then to be caught in the devil's trap. But they would deny it, most of them. Nobody really complete mind wants to go to hell. But very little is being done to avoid it. Now we may look into this spiritual mirror and see if maybe we fit in that condition. Because we've got to get an education in this life. We've so got to cram all of the world's knowledge in our minds. We've got a warning sign stuck up by that, haven't we? Look at it again. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. That's human wisdom. Wisdom upon human things, not upon spiritual things. So we are right in the target, in the life in which we live, and in the society in which we live. Do we understand what must come first if God is pleased and if heaven is to be our eternal home? Beware of philosophy and vain deceit. Vain deceit. Well, I know of an area that the devil is really thriving. It's vain deceit. But where do we find him exercising that vain deceit? And how? How many times does God put up the warning sign in his word concerning false teachers? Teachers who are not teaching us the truth of God's word. But rather they're teaching us what the mind of man wants and not what the mind of man needs. Vain deceit. What do you think has brought all of these religions we talked about this morning in this world into existence anyway? Every last one of them had their beginning as a result of denying God's Word. Well, we can't say there's very much intelligence there, can we? But God gives us all we need to know in order to go to heaven, where we want to go when this life's over. Vain deceit. False teachers. False teachers are used by the devil. Oh, that doesn't make any difference. Just a little bit of it won't hurt. That's how he begins to set his trap, you see. Try to build us up a little bit because it looks so good. It smells so good. It tastes so good. It's bound to be so good. So help yourself. And what does it do but kill the soul? We need to beware. To beware. And after the traditions of men, the practices of mankind, if he's not practicing what God gives us to practice, it's going to lead somebody the wrong direction. But they're all after the rudiments of the world. What do we see as we take a look at the religious life about us? We are seeing less and less of indication of spirituality and more of the interests of this world. How many churches are now having plays? I know one congregation for several years now was having somebody, while the preacher preached, out here demonstrating what he's telling them, as if they were on the stage play acting. No longer do some congregations use their pianos and their instrumental music. They have to have a full brass band today. Where is the spirituality? And on the devil works to destroy that which is spiritual. Yes, the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world. What is it that we are supposed to devote our life to anyway? The cause of Jesus Christ. He died to enable us to do that. And he's provided all that is necessary to make us sufficient in accomplishing that. But it starts with that book and that mind. And every one of us probably has them both. But what are we doing with them? Are we using them? Or are we neglecting the roadmap that takes us from time to eternity? The roadmap that takes us from this old sin-cursed world to the glories of God's heaven. Where are we headed? That's something that each and every one of us must wrestle with. Where are you headed? I know where I'm headed. And I have to work in order to accomplish that. But I have the hand of God extended to me in order to accomplish that. And so do you. But we take a hold of it this way. There's that hand of God. And it is through His Word that we must dedicate ourselves in service unto Him. And you know what He's promised? He's promised us heaven. Jesus said that He was going to prepare a place for us. He's going to prepare mansions for us. How are we going to get there? Any way that we see fit? No, that's not the way he says. What he tells us to do is to obey him. That's how we get there, through obedience. Jesus became our Savior. It is His footprints that are plainly set before us as an example as to how we should walk through this wilderness toward eternity. But are we following that blueprint? Are we following the course that He set before us with His shed blood? Have we dedicated ourselves as soldiers of Jesus the Christ? Paul told Timothy that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And he told Timothy to be a good soldier. Are we striving to be good soldiers? I think we get afraid of that word soldier or the word to fight. We're commanded to fight the good fight of faith that we may lay hold on to eternal life. But stop and think about that word fight just for a moment. It's not such a bad word after all. When we come to the understanding that the devil is standing right out there and he wants to destroy us. Now what are we going to do about it? Are we going to say, well, here I am, take me? Is that what we're going to do? Are we going to take our stand? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, we're told to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's our escape route from what the devil has to try to capture us. If indeed we will do what Jesus teaches us that we must do, heaven will be our home after a while. No doubt about it. He's promised it. But it takes so little for us to lose it. So little. How are we doing as God's people? Are you a child of God? Of course you're not if you haven't obeyed the condition that He has set forth to enable you to be a son or daughter of His. And you will not find that those conditions set forth anywhere but in His Word. You've got to hear the gospel. Why? You can't believe what you must believe if you don't, because here it is. If we don't hear it, we don't read it, we don't study it, we don't know it. But Jesus says, if you believe me, you'll obey me. So we have to get the book out in order to learn who He is and what we are to believe. And then that ought to convince us that we've got to make a change in our life. We've got to turn away from anything out there in the world that the devil is using to try to capture us. We've got to turn away from it. Keep ourselves in the footprints and the teachings of Jesus. Repentance. We're to acknowledge Him as our Lord. And we're to be buried with Him by baptism into His death and raised therefrom to walk in newness of life. Our sins all washed away. New creatures in Christ Jesus. Spiritual children of God. And we must continue to walk in that pathway. That simply means we must continue to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit, who has presented us with God's measuring stick. And if we continue to agree with the Holy Spirit and we're obedient unto His teachings, we then know for sure we're God's children. Now, are you sure that you're God's child? If not, you can be when you leave this building tonight. No miracle performed, simply obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what kind of a soldier are you in His service? A loyal, faithful, doing everything that you learned that you must do in order to please Him and to prepare to meet Him eternally? How do you measure up? When you find you're falling short, then what do you do about it? We're told in 1 John chapter 1 to pray. Pray for forgiveness, and God has promised to forgive you. But He's not going to forgive you if you don't ask Him to. And then prove your desire through your obedience. And we're here to assist you in doing both. To help you become a child of God, and to help you stay a child of God. And we're going to sing that song that Jerry has selected as a song to encourage you. We have this opportunity.